your flags up in the sky. In the sky. All right, everyone, welcome back to episode 2 of Penalty Kicks. We have a new guest here. His name?
My name is Kyle Bellhorn. I am a sophomore actuarial science student at Robert Morris University. Currently, I play on the club soccer team, but I thought I'd, you know, give this podcasting thing a shot and help my brother Owen out here and, you know, put on a show for you guys.
All right, we have a lot to talk about today. This is the first ever soccer podcast for RMU Century Media, and we're going to get into things talking about women's soccer. Brief recap, women's soccer had 2 losses this week. They lost 3-1 versus Akron at home on Friday and 2-1 at Yale on Sunday. They are now 2-8 overall, and they will play Wagner at home Friday at 3 p.m., which will start their conference games. I went to the Akron game. It was the first game that they just had from their win against Youngstown. I saw a very physical game. I'm a hockey fan, so I know like hits when I see them, and it was pretty physical for a soccer game. I don't think there was any red cards or yellow cards, but it was still, there was penalty kicks after another. It was pretty physical. The fans were getting into it, and some of the parents were getting angry. So,
Women's soccer can often tend to get pretty physical. There's a lot of cheap stuff that a lot of people don't notice about women's soccer that happens. Especially a lot that I noticed in that game. There was a lot of pulling at the hair, you know, grabbing at the jerseys, a step on the toes. That's the little cheap things that referees have to handle. And that was one thing I think was very sporadically handled. You know, the referees didn't have a firm understanding of whether, like, what things to call, what things not to call all the time. So that's what led to some of the, you know, fan, argument, so to speak, upset, all those kinds of things. It was just very physical, but I think that's one thing that our women's team can really handle. You see a lot of unity, a lot of form, and a lot of good shape within our team, the women's team. So they can handle a physical game. But unfortunately, I just feel like over the 90-minute period, it just got a little bit overwhelming for them.
Yeah. Despite the score, it was a 3-1 game, but it was a close game from what I saw. RMU had 13 shots, 11 on net, and Akron had good goaltending from Aaron McKinley. And once again, Jane Schleicher was leading the offense. She had a goal and 5 shots on net. So it goes without saying that Jane is obviously our best player, and we would be lost without her. She is now, she has 8 of RMU's 10 goals on the entire season, which she had 8 goals last year. So we're just now starting conference games, and she is already going to surpass what she had from last year.
That is something that, the way she carries the ball and the way that she directs the team from the center of midfield is something that RMU really needs. Like I said, they're a very structured team, and the way that Jane carries herself and spreads the ball, you know, even in between the midfield, making those 1-2 passes and then being able to spread it out to the wings, that's something that she does really, really well. And when she needs to take on a couple players, she has that ability. And that's what really makes her the best on the team, in my humble opinion, and what really sets her out from the rest of our team, let alone the conference. You know what I mean? I would argue that she's one of the best center midfielders in the conference as well.
Absolutely.
Even though that our record wouldn't really show that, say, one of our players is the best in the conference, you can't argue with eight goals in 10 games and with how she dictates every game that she plays.
One thing I noticed from her is that she doesn't give up no matter what the score is. Like, I'm pretty sure it was the Akron game that I watched, that where Akron had just scored a goal, and like the team was kind of like, oh, down in the dumps, like a goal happened. You're not going to be happy when the other team scores a goal. But I'm pretty sure it was the exact play right after that. She just took the ball in the offensive zone and ended up scoring, like, right off the bat. Like,
Oh yeah, her touch is so, it's so fantastic. She keeps it so close, and like even though she uses her right foot a lot, you know, she has that ability to switch to her left foot.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that not a lot of people have, especially in women's soccer. A lot of players in women's soccer are one-footed, but one thing that Jane does really well is that she's able to use both of her feet and turn to whatever side that she needs, and she knows the difference when to play a receding ball and when to play a forward ball. And those are the kinds of things, the kinds of decisions that really set her apart.
RMU had another game against Yale, which was a non-conference game as well, and it was their last non-conference game. They ended up losing that game 2-1, and in my opinion, I didn't go to this game. It was in Connecticut, so. But from what I saw from the stat sheets, and just Yale overall is just a good team. They're 5-2-1. They're an Ivy League school. They're just going into Ivy League play now. They were probably going to win this game 9 out of 10 times. But RMU lost 2-1, which is great. If that makes sense.
No, it totally makes sense because it shows their defensive resilience. You know what I mean? It shows the unity that they have as a team. Yale's fantastic. They really do. They have a great pool of kids to play to pick from. They really will grab people from all over the country, not only for soccer but for their academics. Obviously, being an Ivy League school, and for RMU to keep it 2-1 is something that they can really keep their heads up for, mm-hmm. especially against a team like Yale.
They were outshot 24-9 in the game and 16-5 in the second half. And while not all of those shots went on goal, both Schmidt and Bruckner, who split the game, they were tested, and it's good to see that our goaltending is solid when needed. Taylor Berkeley scored her first career goal, which is something. Two good things happened there, a first career goal and some depth scoring. Jane Schleicher did not score this goal. So that's good for two reasons, and we hope to see more depth scoring in the future. Guys like Berkeley and Christina Kelly, like, if, yes, a lot of seniors like left last year that carried the scoring depth, but if this team's going to compete in conference games this year, they'll need more offensive force from more depth players that are not Jane Schleicher.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Even last year in the 2017-18 season, a lot of it was just, oh, get the ball to Jane, get the ball to Christina. Like, they were obviously like our two best players, and it was just play through them, you know. And now you have people like Schmidt. You even have people like Kirsten Van Horn, who, even though she doesn't really get on the score sheet, she really does dictate the midfield as well whenever Jane needs a break. Just those kinds of things alleviate a little bit of the pressure from people like Jane and Christina, who score, I would say, close to 80% of all of RMU's goals.
Yeah, I'd like to see the actual statistics on that, especially for this year. It's got to be up in the 80-90%. Up next for RMU women's soccer, they will play a home game versus Wagner, which will be the first conference game of the season. So, obviously, one you want to win. I mean, you want to win all games. Conference games are the ones you look forward to the most. Wagner is 1-7 overall, and personally, I think this is a winnable game. They are a struggling team. They've been outshot 118-58 this season so far. And no single player on their team has more than one goal, which, I mean, outside of Jane, we really don't have that much to talk or much room to talk. But still, you want players to score more than one goal on your team. You have any predictions for this game?
I think it will definitely be a win for Robert Morris. I don't know by how much because sometimes the finishing is a little bit inconsistent. But I feel that in this game, they'll be able to have more time on the ball, considering that Wagner is someone more of Robert Morris' quality, and that they would be able to dictate the play more through the midfield, be able to get the ball to the strikers, and then distribute it through there. So that's what's going to be able to allow them to get more scoring opportunities. So for me, I think I could see a 2-0 game, maybe even a 3-1 for Robert Morris.
I personally think Jane will have 2 goals. Christina Kelly will score 1. Army will win 3-0. Mark my words. We're going to switch things over to men's soccer here. And for a quick recap on what they did since our last meeting, they've lost 2-1 in overtime to Bucknell, which was away on Wednesday. And they got their first win of the season versus LaSalle.
Yeah, LaSalle.
Home on Saturday, which makes them now a 1-5-1 overall team, and they're set to play Duquesne tomorrow at 7. They have 2 games left before their conference game starts.
Yeah, I feel that the men's team really has gotten unlucky this season. They've had a lot of games where they've been able to dictate play, been able to get some really great counterattacking opportunities, but they just haven't been able to put the ball in the back of the net. And a little bit of lack of some concentration from on the defensive side have just allowed them to lose games that they really shouldn't have lost. I personally was not at the Bucknell game, but one thing that you'll be able to notice with the trends is that they've received severe pressure towards the end of the second half when it was 1-1. Bucknell had tons of opportunities in the last 15-10 minutes from what I've seen on the stats to take the win and not even need overtime. And then as soon as overtime starts, you know, for Bucknell, they just took control of the entire play. They dictated everything, and Robert Morris didn't really have that many opportunities other than their goalkeeper making 2 saves in overtime. Bucknell really was able to take control of it. So I think they've gotten unlucky this year, and I'm glad to see that they finally got a win against LaSalle this Saturday.
And as for the LaSalle game, in the 57th minute in,
Guillerme Frank, that was a great goal in the 57th minute. He cut in from, I would say, about the 30-yard line, taking it from the right-hand side, put it in on his left foot, beat 2 defenders, and then took a shot from right outside the 18, put it in the bottom corner. It's a little bit of a slow roller, but it was well-placed, put past the goalkeeper, and that was inevitably what won the game for Robert Morris. Again, that coming in the 57th minute of that game. It was really coming. I was actually at that LaSalle game. Robert Morris could have easily won that game 2-3-4-0. They really dictated play. Kai and Christian in the middle were absolutely fantastic. And then Ovi in the back really dictated, made sure that he was communicating to all of his players and that they were staying organized throughout the whole game and really limited LaSalle to not many opportunities. So that LaSalle game, even though it was 1-0 on paper, really displayed how well that Robert Morris can play when they're at full strength.
And full strength is what they will need here soon, as they had Duquesne tomorrow in Pittsburgh, sort of a rivalry game. Men's soccer is looking for back-to-back wins. A player to watch out for Duquesne would be Manel Busquet. I hope I'm saying that right.
Manel Busquets.
Yes. He's from Barcelona, Spain, and he's a freshman, and he's leading the Dukes with 4 points, a goal, and 2 assists.
Yeah, he's been fantastic this season. I don't know if he's related to Sergio Busquets, the center defensive midfielder from Barcelona, but that would be pretty amazing if he would be. But I don't know him personally, but this season has been fantastic for him. I think another name to keep in mind of that he hasn't gotten much game time during the season this year, only playing a part in 1 of Duquesne's 5 games, but Curtis Orson could really come off the bench and make a huge difference. He played for the Philadelphia Union Academy for when he was 13, 14, and 15 years old, then came up and played for PA Classics, another huge club in eastern Pennsylvania, probably one of the biggest there in my opinion, and really dominated that league playing in the center midfield. And he usually played a year up as well. So I think he would be someone that gives Duquesne a lot of depth and would bring some spark to the game, especially in the second half.
What is your prediction for that game?
To be completely honest with you, even though Duquesne's record is 1-3-1, I don't see Robert Morris being able to really dominate the game. I feel like Duquesne's midfield is going to be too much for them. So I do think it will be close, though. I think it'll be 1-0 Duquesne. I might see maybe a 1-1. Maybe Sherman gets a counterattack chip like he's been able to do this season. But it's going to be tough for Robert Morris to beat Duquesne, man.
Yeah. Zach Sherman, though, having a good season. Any thoughts on him and how great of a season he's been having?
His movement has been fantastic this season. At points, his discipline has been an issue, and that's something that we definitely saw in the Bucknell game. Right in the beginning of overtime, he got a straight red card, which was something that really put RMU down, especially in overtime. You really need all of your 11 players in the field. But other than that, I felt that Sherman has had a fantastic season. He didn't start every game last year with some of the seniors really taking the helm last year, but now Sherman's able to come in this year and really cement his spot at the top of the striking charts, and his movement has just been really, really good. Filling in the channels in between the center backs and the outside backs to be able to find that space has been something that RMU has been missing for a while. You know, Robert Morris has really had more of a target striker over the past couple of years, and they relied more on their wingers for opportunities. But I feel like Sherman has really been able to find the space in behind the defenders, and it's been shown in that, I don't remember which game it was that he scored two chips in the game, one in the first half, one in the second half. But it was a fantastic game, and I'm really pleasantly surprised with Sherman this season. He's done really well.
My prediction is that Zach Sherman will score just one goal, and Winter Fondy will get the shutout. That's all, and it'll be a 1-0 game. I may be biased here, but I think we'll get back-to-back wins.
Yeah, Winter Fondy, major shout-out to him, man. He has been a rock in goal this year, last year. He has really been fantastic. Whenever RMU have been put under a lot of pressure, he's been able to, you know, make saves out of thin air, man. You know, only being 5'10", mm-hmm. You would think that he wouldn't be able to cover the goal, but that's the thing. He's so explosive that he's just able to get across the goal, and his decision making is fantastic. I remember when I played in goal in high school, it wasn't the easiest thing to know when to come out, when to make what certain kinds of saves. So that's something that Winter makes it look so easy, man. So I really have to give a shout out to him for organizing the defense and just playing his part, making saves when he needs to, you know.
Absolutely. We got a little bit of time here, and we have a club soccer player with us here today, and we're going to spend a little time talking about club soccer.
Yeah.
So you are on the...
I am on the Robert Morris club soccer team, okay. And I start at the center of midfield. We've had three games this season. We had two home, one away. We played at Pitt this last Sunday, and then last Saturday we played home to Slippery Rock. The previous week we played home to West Virginia. So the West Virginia game was something that we really were able to express ourselves in. You know, we didn't have many expectations on us. West Virginia was a far better team than we are, and it was just an opportunity for us to show that we have new players and that we can really make a difference in this league. And that's what happened. You know, we came out and we played with a lot of heart and we played with a lot of structure. We pressed through the midfield, which was really what caught West Virginia off guard. They were able to play it through the back a lot, but then in the second half especially, we came out and pressed with all six of our front men. It's like all three of our midfielders, our two wingers, and our striker, we all pressed on the back five, and we were able to get two quick goals. Lennon Zrimcek, sorry if I'm saying that wrong, Lennon, but he scored within the first 5 minutes of the second half. He was pickpocketed the center back, made a nice finish at the near post. Then 3 minutes later, I was able to win the ball back. on one of our presses from the midfield, play it back out to Lennon, making a run back post. Lennon crossed it into me, and I was able to get a header into the net. We were up 2-0 at that point. Later, I would say about 20 minutes left in the game, we conceded one pretty good goal. There was really no stopping it. It was a great individual effort from West Virginia. But we were able to get the 2-1 win, which was huge for us. And then, so we were mile high going into our second game against Slippery Rock. And that was a complete opposite. We really didn't play with the most ambition, with the most heart as possible. It was something that we put a lot of effort into it, but it didn't have a lot of purpose. You know, we didn't have many shots on target that game, and Slippery Rock was able to just get a good counter, earn themselves a corner, and then able to score off it, in which we lost 1-0 to Slip. So that was something that set us back a little bit, but that we wanted to learn from. And we played Pitt on this last Sunday at Pitt, and that was a game where we played really, really well. We played well, like we did against West Virginia, and even though we lost 3-0 to Pitt, it was a statement of our character. That, I feel, apart from last year when we lost 5-1, but we played really well. So I think that it's something that we can work on and keep up for the upcoming games for the rest of the season. We play on Saturday. We have doubleheader against IUP and Cal-U starting at 4:30. Other games at 6:30. And, yeah, we'd like to see if anyone can come out and support us.
All right, well, we definitely will hope we wish you the best there and hope you guys have a great season. That's about all we have today on penalty kicks. Make sure you guys keep in contact with RMU Century Media. It's your source for recaps, everything you need to know articles, preview articles, live sports, and much more. Thank you guys for tuning in. Penalty kicks records just every week, and it's our first soccer podcast. So thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.